Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back. Today we are doing our first of hopefully many Ask Me Anything episodes. And these episodes are designed so that you can submit Julie and I questions and we'll answer your questions. And these questions can be about anything. And obviously our area of expertise is small.
Limited.
Yes. So if you submit questions asking us for the winning lottery numbers or alien invasions and whatnot, and I'm not talking about southern border variety, I'm talking the ones from, you know, interstellar alien.
Exactly.
We'll probably pontificate, but we probably won't have anything useful to offer. But yes, with regards to real estate and things related to business and you know, rental properties, and I think wealth accumulation and all these good things, those are where we are most comfortable and competent. So we did have a lot of you submit questions, and we found most of the questions kind of fell into several main buckets. So if we don't personally thank you for submitting your question, forgive us. It's just because your question was similar enough to other questions that we didn't want to say, you know, what are your three best sources of lead generation? This question was asked by all these, you know, 14 people. Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to submit a question for, maybe we'll do one of these next week too. We like doing pods like this. It's frankly a heck of a lot more, or less production work, but more cerebral work because the questions are so varied. But yes, if you'd like to submit a question, just text me directly at 512-758-0206, 512-758-0206. And also, I'd like to thank all of you who joined our new newsletter this week. And the newsletter is going to be what we feel might be one of our best production efforts. It's going to combine the notes from the podcast, but also we're going to be having a lot of exclusive content. Like for example, today I'm doing three interviews with what we feel to be some of the most influential agents in the United States. And we're going to expand those interviews to folks in Europe as well, because we have a lot of European listeners. So the interviews and all the other content is available for you anytime, but you have to subscribe to the newsletter. It's simple to do, and the best part of it, I think all of you will agree, is it's free. So just go to harrisrealestatedaily.com, harrisrealestatedaily.com, and you can subscribe. And the link to join the newsletter is down below. Remember, when you join, you have to go, and it's a double opt-in deal. So you have to, you know, go to your email and you have to click a link acknowledging the fact that you want the newsletter. Otherwise, you won't get it. But again, it's harrisrealestatedaily.com. And thanks to the thousands of you who have already subscribed. And again, it's free. So go there right now, harrisrealestatedaily.com.
All right. So on today's show, we're going to answer, I believe it's five questions. And as Tim mentioned, these sort of came from several of you with different flavors. So let's start with number one. And here's the question. I'm in a schedule rut. I tell myself that tomorrow is the day I'll do what I'm supposed to do, but then I don't do it. And then it's sort of like Groundhog Day. The next day you say you're going to do it. The next, maybe this afternoon's when I'm going to get to it. So this is going to be a discussion between you and I. To me, that's sort of a mindset question wrapped up in a schedule question. Does that make sense?
No, we'll see. Let's see how you finish answering.
So in a schedule, right. All right. So for me, from a coaching standpoint, I would ask, do you have a schedule? Do you have it and you're not following it? Do you not know what you're supposed to be doing so you don't do it? Or do you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing? You're just dodging it with things like creative avoidance, doing all of the things that are easy to do or fun to do, working on your business, tweaking things instead of working in your business, doing the real work of real estate, like lead generation, lead follow-up, presenting, negotiating, and closing. So it could be any number of those things. Do you just not, maybe you're a new agent, you don't know what you're supposed to do. That's forgivable. That's fixable. Or maybe you're just avoiding it. So to me, it's why do you give yourself the option to do it or not do it?
So there's two thoughts I have on this one.
Sure.
Really, at the end of the day, everyone has a schedule, whether it's a formal schedule or not. You wake up, you brush your teeth, you take your shower. Maybe you have a family that you have to, you know, take care of, all the rest of it. So we all have schedules. We all have things we have to do every single day. Some people are not going to be getting the best results for themselves from following an actual schedule. I've coached plenty of people like that. Mm-hmm. So this is a minority. Truthfully, it's probably less than 10%. So less than 10% of you, if we try to force you into a schedule where 9 o'clock you're doing this, 10 o'clock you're doing this, you're going to, it's just not going to work for you. It'll never work for you. It works against how your energy flows and really how you get things done. But for those 10%, and really for everyone, it's what you got done that particular day that matters. So there, a successful day usually comes down to 3 to 5 things, no more than that. And we help you to define what those 3 to 5 things are. But for example, one of the things would be working out. Another thing would be showing overt gratitude towards, you know, put a number to it, 5 people per day. Obviously doing all your lead follow-up, doing, you know, making 10 contacts a day, those types of things. So there would be a list of, you know, things that are most important, you know, taking your supplements every day, praying every day, right? So there are 3 to 5 things that when you do every single day, the accumulation effect, in other words, doing those things over and over and over again, actually starts to build and pays massive dividends. And you guys can imagine what I mean by that. But, you know, so if you hate a schedule, can't do a schedule, will never do a schedule, screw schedules forever, right? Right? You know, you are like our kid who hates going to school, not because she hates school, because she hates being told what to do.
That's very true.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah. If that's your approach, but you can get 3 to 5 things done at a high level every single day, then, you know, go you, don't follow a schedule. Now, the flip side to that is most people are not like that. Most people, and what they've learned is that their energy flows better in the morning. And that the reason is because you've had sleep, your hormones are in check, you probably have a better mindset, all the other things that go along with it. The day's worth of burden hasn't really accumulated and sapped your energy. So in the morning is where you want to, generally speaking, get all the things that you want to do the least done at the highest level. So the doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level portion of your day is going to be, I'll air quote this, easiestly done. What's the word?
Most easily accomplished.
Thank you. Whoa, someone's becoming a human grammarly.
Yes, in the morning.
In the morning, right. She's only, because we're doing this podcast in the morning. Ask her to try to figure out the hell I was saying in the afternoon, right?
No, forget it.
Yeah. So that's kind of some things to think about. But really, an effective day and an effective life comes down to 3 to 5 things doing at the highest level and the accumulation effect of having done those things every day.
Yes, I 100% agree with you. As long as, if you're going to be a non-scheduled type, as long as you're following what Tim just said, I think when you say 3 to 5 important things, it's having and maintaining those daily minimum standards that you never get away from, right? So you shouldn't end the day with leads that you haven't followed up on. That makes sense. That's a high use of your time. You should be working out every day. And I agree with you that it needs to happen in the morning. If you're going to try to control your time, whether that's having a schedule with an alarm and time blocking, or whether that's saying, I'm going to do my 3 most important things before noon, you are about 5,000 times more likely to actually do it in the morning. Why? Because your voicemail, your email, a coach friend of mine used to call that the box of snakes, it will get out by the afternoon, and then your chances of doing the important stuff is very minimal.
That's right. So hopefully we've answered that question sufficiently. By the way, when you join Premier Coaching, in the first level of Premier Coaching, and the first level of Premier Coaching is free, and just go to premiercoaching.com or click the link below. But there is a fill-in-the-blank business plan. It's called the Real Estate Treasure Map, and it's a very, 60 pages. Print all those pages out. It used to be a book, but now we just give it away as part of the first level of Premier Coaching. And in that is a suggested schedule and how to go about creating your schedule. This is a big point. I think really the whole scheduling thing, Jill, you started out, and I agree with what you said, it kind of falls into the same bucket as the whole mindset, People that are real into their mindset are also real into their schedule. And I get all that. You just know thyself, I guess. And then however you're getting the results, if you, just to really, I think, encapsulate the scheduling point, if you have long-term levels of success that meet or exceed your expectations and you've never had a schedule, keep doing it.
Yes.
Really, don't change.
Know thyself.
And if you're coming to coaching or coming to, the idea, well, I need a schedule because I read some book, but I've never had a schedule and yet I'm an Olympic swimmer and I'm a, multimillionaire and all these other things, and all of a sudden I can't force myself to have a schedule. Don't force yourself to have a schedule. So just for
do what works for you.
Right.
And I think if you interviewed 10 people, they would all have 10 different takes on scheduling. The bottom line is do what works for you, but do the important things that work for you. And, I hear from coaching clients, all different varieties. I have coaching clients that are very strictly, they get up at 4:30 in the morning, they work out every day, that's it. They're super strict on their schedule. Most of them have some kind of background of maybe it was military or they grew up on a farm where they had to wake up. And then I have other coaching clients that you were talking about where they get a lot of things done, but they hardly even look at their clock.
All right. So the next question, we had a few iterations of this one, and I think I have a surprising answer for you, Julie, but I'll let you go first so you don't steal my answer. by the way, we didn't rehearse or review each other's answers first. We're trying to keep this
fun.
Exactly. All right. So the next question is, Julie.
I need to make money now. Help. or right. some iteration of that.
Okay,
yes.
So I'm only going to set you up here because I'll give you a little hint what my answer is going to be.
Okay.
So I was interviewing Rochelle, who's one of our coaches.
Coach Rochelle.
Okay, and I asked her that very question during the interview.
Good.
And so with that suggestion of, you know, where I maybe got the inspiration for how to answer that question myself, what do you think her answer was?
I think she would have said something on the buyer perspective or open houses or something along the, like an immediate appointment followed by an immediate contract.
So I liked her answer even better.
She might have said BPO.
She did. Okay, that was it. You got it.
Yeah.
And I really like that answer because that really gets to the heart of it. So if you need to make money now, and again, Coach Rochelle, when you guys listen to her on her interview that we're going to be publishing for newsletter subscribers, she goes into detail describing this, but really do BPOs because a BPO is basically an elaborate, you know, CMA in essence is the way to think of it. And in Premier Coaching, we do teach you, again, Rochelle will teach you how to do BPOs at a high level. And BPOs, I didn't know this, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but do you know some BPOs now, companies are paying $75 to $100 a BPO?
Yes, and even more if it's commercial or land or something odd.
Well, they raise their prices because agents stopped doing BPOs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, raised what they were paying, rather. So that means you can do a BPO, and when done efficiently, you can get it done in a half hour. I mean, the picture's part of it. There's different ways to do that. You can, frankly, hire someone to do it if you get a lot of BPO orders. But you could start earning, you know, $300 to $500 a day just by doing BPOs, which for many of you will be more than enough to cover all whatever your personal daily burn rate is. During the real estate crash back in 07 through 09, one of the things that Julie and I suggested that folks do is to do just that. Figure out, you know, take the amount of money you need to earn every single month, divided by the number of work days you have every single month. And hopefully that's, you know, something manageable, you know, $200 to $400 a day, something like that, or maybe even less. And then do the amount of BPOs that you need to do every single day. So at least you know you covered your personal overhead that day. And by the way, that's a killer way for you to become a true market expert, run into buyers, run into sellers, and a lot of those BPOs will turn into listing opportunities for you.
Okay, so we didn't actually define what a BPO is. We may have some newer listeners. That's a broker price opinion, which is, as you said, a more elaborate, more detailed CMA, which is a comparable market analysis. That's when you're setting price. BPOs are ordered by different entities, by lenders, by banks, by asset managers to determine value for different reasons. It could be a refinance. It could be a pre-foreclosure. You don't really care necessarily what the reason is. Tim's point, Coach Rochelle's point is this is the fastest way to immediate cash flow.
Let's take a half step back because your point is excellent that they won't have any clue what BPOs are. Probably most of them have never even heard of a BPO. So sometimes if someone's credit drops, the bank's, and they own a mortgage, you know, have a house with a mortgage, the bank's going to order a BPO just to find out that, you know, what the hell's going on at the house. They're worried about their asset. And refinances, sometimes BPOs are ordered for just all kinds of different reasons. So it's not just for distressed reasons. And, you know, Rochelle is going to teach you how to do lots and lots of BPOs. If that's your desired path to earn money now, it is kind of a no-brainer. And there aren't that many BPO companies anymore. A lot of them consolidated, went out of business, right? So that makes sense. So we're going to show you which ones are actually hiring agents in your market. I don't know if they're hiring in all markets, but from what Rochelle told me during that interview, it looks like they are. And again, this is not a sign of distressed real estate. This is just normal ebbs and flows of the real estate industry. And you have to go to premiercoaching.com, premiercoaching.com, or click the link below. Do you have another answer for I need to make money now?
Let me just clarify, because the next thought that usually hits them is, well, gosh, that's only $100. Why would I work and crank this out for $100? So to which I answer, you do free CMAs for past clients and people in your sphere and leads all the time for free. That's one point. But more importantly, don't think of them as a one-off task. Think of them as what you said. If you want to have, let's say you just want $1,000 coming in to cover your car payment or something. Well, how many BPOs is that? You can certainly do that per month. Think of them as groups of BPOs from companies that normally hire you regularly, and you can literally get checks in the mail every single day.
Yep. So again, premiercoaching.com, and we'll teach you how to do BPOs. That is one of the things Rochelle's always done. Julie wants to add to that.
Okay, so that's immediate daily cash flow. Let's talk about bigger money normal commissions. Most agents right now are sitting on some leads.
Are you stepping into the next question?
No, I'm on, I guess they're related. The next question is, how can I generate a closing as fast as possible without looking desperate? Cousins. Okay.
I was surprised how many different iterations of that question we got.
Yes.
Honestly.
Money now is the
well, no, it's the looking desperate part. There were a lot of questions from agents who were focused on how they don't want to seem like they're desperate, even though they're truly desperate.
Yes.
You know, what's ironic, too, is when people are truly desperate, they're the most sensitive to looking desperate. But when someone's doing really well, they have no qualms about asking for business. You know,
it's a little twisted that way.
It is twisted. So when you need the money, when you need the business the least, you're the most ambitious. And when you need it the most, you're the most, you know, reclusive.
I think it's because if you don't want to look like you're desperate, it's probably because you are feeling desperate and you're leading with your emotions versus leading with your actions, which will get you out of desperation. And that's a tough thing to do. You've got to make yourself do it. So what I would say is, first, go to your existing leads. Most of you are sitting on buyer leads that are not in contract because you have not found them something to buy. And or they're struggling with what they're going to do with their mortgage. There's different reasons. But I would go to the ones who are either pre-qualified, pre-approved, loan committed, or all cash. And if the only reason they're not in contract is because you haven't found them something, then that leads to one of the other questions, which is, how do I find inventory? We've had a lot of podcasts about that. Go to new construction. We have a podcast talking about how to mine your MLS creatively so that you're finding more opportunities. And you can certainly do a wanted door hanger, flyer, door knocking campaign to a specific neighborhood.
We have on iTunes, we have 2,000 past podcasts, but we've been doing this podcast since, I don't even know how long at this point, since 2000 and probably 12. And we are doing webinars even before podcasting became popular. So we've been doing podcasts realistically since 2002. But as far as how many you can find out on the internet still, there's over 5,000. So when we say past podcasts, you have a lot of past podcasting to listen to.
We have a library full. And we've done several versions of that question. How to find inventory, how to use your MLS better, how to work new construction. So you should, if I was an agent who had, let's say, even two buyer leads that were anxious to buy something and qualified and motivated, especially if they have nothing to sell, right? I would not be able to sleep at night if I wasn't working to find that for them.
So your answer was you'd find a motivated buyer that was ready to buy. And I'm going to take the opposite side of that. And I'll tell you why. Because when you and I started in real estate, everyone told us to chase the buyers. Mm-hmm. We had people sat us down, being helpful, giving us information, just go after buyers. You guys are young. You know, we're in our early 20s. We sold over 100 homes our first year. And they're all like, obviously, you guys aren't going to be ever taking any listings because you look like you're 12. So just focus on the first-time buyers. Well, fortunately, Julie and I didn't listen. And what we realized were the sellers were, frankly, the ones to go after. Because when you take a listing, not only does that seller, you know, you're going to sell that listing, but that seller probably has to buy something. There's two transactions. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be able to do open houses and a lot of other things to generate a lot of other buyers and so on and so on. So my suggestion would be absolutely 100% go after a for sale by owner, an unrepresented owner, or an expired. That's what I personally would do.
I agree. I will put a little frosting on that, which is if you're going to do that, you probably need to be polishing some of your skills. But at the same time, don't feel like you have to be 100% perfect at it to start doing that. You're going to learn so much more by being in front of actual for sale by owners and actual expireds. So don't live in fear of the unknown if you're saying, gosh, that seems so advanced. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. Well, that's why we have coaching. But also you're going to figure out what to say and how to say it through more and more appointments.
What Julie just said is the bottom line. Don't wait to, you know, perfect your skills and get all your stuff done and all the rest of it. You know, just go out there and you'll be surprised how frequently, especially with a for sale by owner, they'll list with you. even if you're a brand new licensee, never sold a house, let alone listed one before, there's a lot of great other options, other experienced agents in that particular market that they, you know, could be considering. All these things that you're going to be telling yourself, and yet they list with you. Why? Because you knocked on the door, because you called them, because you were nice, because you did maybe only 30% of what we suggest you do when you're going after an unrepresented owner, aka for sale by owner. You just barely skimmed the surface of what we teach you to do in the coaching program because you just joined or something like that. You guys get what I'm saying?
But you showed up. You right. were in front of them. I can't remember. It might have been our original broker that said 80% of winning in real estate is being there.
Well, 80% is being there with energy and enthusiasm.
Yes. Well, some of these guys have nervous energy. It's okay to turn that into nervous energy and enthusiasm. I remember some of our first listing appointments. That's how we felt. And we still took the listing. Why? Because the seller said, you were the only one that seemed excited about selling the house.
100%. And that's what you'll experience too. That's the unfair advantage that newness and nervous energy gives you, especially if you're competing against old, grizzled veterans. And some of them are old and some of them are literally grizzled.
Some more than others, yeah.
So when you know, they don't call on time. They kind of just sloth around. They're just sort of like assumptive that they're going to get the business. Mm-hmm. In those markets, when you have competitors like that, it does not matter if you're old or if you're young. If you have energy and enthusiasm and you're following a somewhat scripted approach like what we teach you in Premier Coaching, you will win even with lack of experience more often than you're not. And if you are an old grizzled veteran agent and you don't want to become irrelevant and you want to frankly stay transactional for many years to come, you got to make it so that you're not being easily beaten by the younger generation of people just because they have energy and enthusiasm, just because, you know, they're acting a little bit more modern than you are. You got to update your skill set. Otherwise, the market's going to pass you by. And it is an interesting phenomenon. I think all of you over 40 will agree. It used to be that trends, let's call them, would last maybe a decade. But have you all noticed that now it's generally speaking less than 6 months? And I'm talking about business trends. I'm talking about just the different vernacular words people use. Everything, it changes so fast. It's because we're all interconnected from the internet. I mean, Julie and I are from Ohio, and the old joke is if the world ever comes to an end, you know, you want to be in Ohio because you at least have another 2 or 3 years left.
Exactly.
You know, and you know what? We kind of took that offensively the first few times we heard it. But then we started to travel and we realized that joke was funny because it was true. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that happened on the coast, for example, happened way before it would happen in Ohio. Now, of course, as we've gotten a little bit older, we appreciate the fact that things were a little bit slower and we sort of missed that slower pace of life.
I would agree
but
with that.
That's kind of funny, isn't
yeah,
it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But in any event, so just keep all these things in mind. You want to go on to the next question?
Well, we touched on it a minute ago. How can I find inventory for all of these buyers?
That's the next question.
Yes. And so here's the thing. I read two reports, one from List Reports, one from Housing Wire this morning, about inventory continuing to climb. This mm-hmm. is one of the most exciting stories, I think, about our industry this year. And I think it's probably the most important thing that's going on. We have more inventory. I think we're just about to 700,000 actives, not counting new construction. To put that in perspective, we've been struggling with this low inventory for years now. And at the lowest point about a year and a half ago, it was only like 240,000.
Well, I mean, the fact is what the prediction show, well, it wasn't a prediction show. The reason that you and I believe that this is the definitive start of a long-term housing boom. Mm-hmm. And we did a podcast the other day about that,
yes.
Hoping these agents are listening and not letting the opportunity to be part of the new boom gets by them, because unfortunately that is what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like a lot of you guys are mentally and emotionally in Ohio, and 2 or 3 mm-hmm. years from now, you're gonna be looking back wishing you would have been paying more attention now, because Julie's giving you statistical facts about what's happening to the market. And all this, look, ignore all the other, the blim blam that's coming out from politics, from interest rates, from the economy or whatever. The fact is real estate operates as almost like an island that these other things don't seem to have much of effect on. And if you're wondering why, it's because everyone needs a house. Everyone will always need a place to live. And the demographics are the wind at the industry's back that's going to be there for the next 10 or 20 years. We talked about this incessantly on this podcast and, of course, in Premier Coaching. So, yes, you guys are all part of what's going to be one of the biggest, long, sustainable and sustaining real estate booms in the history of the world. And it really, sure. I think, it feels like it's starting, I mean, maybe 3 or 4 months ago mm-hmm. when the inventory started. But I'll tell you the big thing that changed.
What's that?
Was people's attachment mm-hmm. to super low interest rates.
I 100% agree. And I can tell you straight off of coaching calls yesterday, because I asked coaching clients about this. What is the you know, what's the collective unconscious in your market? How do people feel? What are they saying to you? And I heard many times they would say something like, it seems like people are now accepting that rates are going to settle in right in the sevens, high sixes, low sevens. They don't, I'm not hearing the freak out that I did before. And what it's done is it's made the buyers who want to buy very serious and very qualified because they know that they can swing the payment. When combined with larger down payments, especially when somebody's selling a house and then buying, you know, the payment's not that bad. And if they can hack it, you don't argue with them. You don't say, oh, are you sure you're comfortable with that? No, you just sell them a house.
But literally, the whole conversation about waiting for rates to fall is washing out.
That is melting away.
It has washed out.
People are accepting the new normal.
So you and I were describing it, and this was back when, you know, the rates went up and all this. This was years ago now, which is kind of amazing to think about. We were talking about crossing this rickety bridge, you know?
Yeah.
This Indiana Jones scary ass
thing. The transition.
Right. That was the transition. We're trying to give you guys some visualization for this, and the bridge was so long you couldn't even see what was on the other side. It was just, you know, imagine this long rope bridge and
blowing in the wind alligators, right? Below,
I mean, way below, but you could you know they're down there, and you can't see to the other side of the bridge because it's so densely covered with fog. Right, we all have to cross this damn thing. We all have to get to the other side. You don't know what the other side's gonna be like. Well, guess what? Most people are on the other side, and it turns out it's just fine. The land is great. The views are wonderful. There's no savages over there. It's all fine. So most people that you're going to run across have already crossed that bridge. A lot of people will never cross the bridge. And we saw that happening after the 2007-08 housing crisis. People just stayed put. They just essentially wrote themselves off. And of course, in the future, they came to regret it. To this day, we have people that show up in our lives who we knew back, you know, during 07, 08, 09, mm-hmm. who said they wish they would have, you know, not been so conservative with some of the thoughts that they had, or not been so fearful. They wish they would have bought rental properties. Da, 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 da. Long list of regrets. And why are they in that mental, emotional, now financial state of, you know, disrepair almost? It's because they stayed in complacency and fear too long. So don't do that. We are here to officially tell you, as we have during the past three similar housing setbacks since Julie and I have been coaching, that this market is definitely going to come roaring back. Please be part of what's going to be. Get your ass on the other side of the bridge. And if you're only halfway through the other on that bridge, keep crossing. I promise you the other side of it's exactly what you've been looking for. That pertains to interest rates. People aren't talking about rates anymore. If rates go down, great. But nobody's expecting to go less than 3% again. That's just not going to happen. And people are figuring out, just as humans always do, we're very adaptable. I mean, you're starting to see all kinds of hybrid mortgages come around. Bill, we talk about this incessantly on the podcast. You're starting to see people with low rate fixed rate mortgages who are now, guess what, offering owner financing, or not owner financing, but assumable mortgages. And we talk about this in Premier Coaching. We talk about this on this podcast. Assumable mortgages are going to be, depending on your price point, are going to be a big part of the market, because you can essentially have your seller list their house assumable. And let's say they have $200,000 of equity in the house, but they have a fixed rate mortgage of 2.75% with release. In other words, the buyer has to qualify. The buyer gives that $200,000 to that seller. And then basically they assume that seller's existing mortgage based on that low interest rate. That's assumable with release. And if you're listing real estate and you're not asking the nature of the seller's mortgage, all mortgages are assumable with release. I don't know of any that aren't. And so if there aren't, loan officers, please let me know. But the moral of the story is that should be question number one you're always asking when you go on listing appointments. Now, I want you to imagine you're talking with a seller and you ask them that question, and then you excitingly, with energy and enthusiasm, tell them why you're asking the question. That in itself will get you the listing, because they love how creative and dialed into the market you actually are.
And knowledgeable, remembering that knowledge equals confidence and ignorance equals fear. Think about how powerful that is. And you know, you mentioned that the assumables, that's a great tool in the toolkit. Remember too that 33% of transactions right now are all cash.
Yeah.
And here's what's amazing. I was talking to Patrick Murphy in Columbus, Ohio, 2 days ago, and we were talking about some of these stats, and he said, you know, I don't know if people pay cash in Columbus. Let me think about that. He's had a whole bunch of closings so far this year. Go, Patrick. And then we looked at him, and he said, you know what? It does seem like about 30% of them, even in Columbus, Ohio, are all cash. So don't be so attached to the interest rate story. All right, so next question. This one's easy to answer, I think. Can I do an open house if it's not my listing? We talk about open houses all the time, podcasts. We talk about how to utilize those to create business. You can.
Let me expand that, because we had different versions of that one, and sure. I'm going to make it harder and have you answer it. Can I take a do an open house if it's not my listing and if it's not if it's another broker's listing?
Yes, you can.
Okay, you have to ask though. Get permission.
Don't just show up, right?
Right.
You have to ask, and I always coach agents to lead with the house more than the brand or the agent or whatever.
We should say that we're not speaking on behalf of your state or your broker.
Correct.
There, I know there's some arcane rules, regulations, guidelines, laws out there that might prevent you from doing out of broker open houses, but do inquire about it because those are, you know, for the most part, you can. You just have to get everyone consenting. Some people are going to have be nervous Nellies over errors in admissions insurance and the rest of it. But the moral of the story is do not use your lack of personal inventory as your excuse not to do open houses.
That's right. So you can certainly start with your own brokerage. Then you can, you know, really the only universal rule is you're licensed in your state. So you're going to be, some of you guys are dual licensed in Maryland and Virginia or something like that. But you are literally licensed to sell any kind of real estate in your state with a few little twists like commercial and things like that. Now, that said, you also can go to builders and do some open houses for them in their model homes or their spec homes.
That's what I was going to say. That's the goldmine idea right there.
Because there's baked in traffic.
Well, so think about this. So for the most part, you're going to have, let's just assume it's a large track builder. You are going to have three or four of these large track builders, and sometimes they even have their models next door to each other. Well, there's going to be one employee build rep that's going to be in that, you know, that home. And they're going to be sitting there waiting around for buyers to show up, maybe agents to show up with their buyers. They want to have their nights and weekends back. They want to go to Sally's baseball game. They don't want to have to, well, how about this? Maybe they have to go out and show lots, and then what happens is they lock the door, they put a little sign in the door saying, I'll be back in 10 minutes or whatever. You guys, this is an opportunity for you to become their, you know, unpaid assistant. I'm not asking you to go in there and ask for money, unless, of course, they're going to offer it. And then be there to help them with any prospective buyers that come in. At the very least, you can have a cursory understanding of the process of working as a build rep. And that buyer, when they walk in, will be registered with you. So if they decide to build with that builder, you're going to get a commission on that sale. Now, more importantly, what you're going to do is build a relationship with that new build rep where they'll start feeling comfortable to refer to you maybe buyers that don't want to buy one of their new construction homes, but also those buyers who have homes to sell. This is a killer way to get listings. And in the marketplace right now, this wasn't true 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago, what we're sharing with you now. But in the marketplace right now, for the most part, new construction is going to dominate most of the, I would say, normal price markets in the country. You know, the D.R. Hortons and the rest of it, they're going to dominate. They just are. So make, and if you don't believe me, go and read the quarterly filings from the new construction builders and read about how many freaking lots they're developing and how much new construction they're planning on doing. They are incredibly ambitious because they know that the market is definitely coming their way. So yes, befriend as many of these new build reps as you can. And again, lots of coaching, lots of training. We talk about this incessantly in the podcast, but get into great detail at premiercoaching.com. which you can join for free, and definitely learn how to become a new build rep's best friend, if not all of the new build reps in your marketplace's best friends, and you'll be surprised how frequently they send you business.
Absolutely. Great coaching on that. And of course, this is a podcast, so we're giving you ideas. We're answering your questions. We're not doing the drill down that you get in Premier Coaching or certainly in Elite Coaching. So if you like what you're hearing here, then you know what to do. Get over to Premier Coaching, get signed up so that you can have even more in-depth coaching literally on a daily basis.
So if you like today's podcast, it's a little, I think, unscripted. You, Julie, and I usually follow an outline. But if you like today's Ask Me Anything format and you want to participate, please do send your questions. Just text them directly to me, 512-758-0206, 512-758-0206. If it's a personal question that you don't want to be, mass distributed to all of our podcast listeners, I understand. I'll just answer those questions on a one-on-one basis directly with you. But if I think the question will benefit as many listeners as we have on a regular basis, tens of thousands, then I'm going to obviously read it on the podcast. So in the meantime, thank you for keeping this the number one listened to daily podcast for real estate agents in at least the United States. It is truly our pleasure and honor to be of service to all of you. Now, please repay the favor and give us a 5-star review and a comment over on iTunes while you love the podcast, because we know you do, because you listen to it every day, right? And then, yes, that would be helping us tremendously, because your kind words and 5-star reviews then send out to the iTunes algorithms that this is a podcast that the iTunes folks should be sharing with as many other potential listeners as possible. And that helps us to stay on mission, which is being of service to real estate professionals all over the world. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.